Blog Talk Radio.
How are we doing tonight?
Well, my you-know-what brother is here, so I could be doing that good.
It could be much better, right?
Well, yeah. Now, we're going to talk about horror.
Yeah, I thought, you know, tonight we'd talk about those. There's, you know, there's the real life horror, and then there's what, you know, what we're involved in, movie horror. If I would have a broad discussion about it, you never know who might call in, and if they don't.
Yeah. We're without Edward X. Young, because he's at a karaoke contest for the last few weeks.
He's in the finals. I told him if he wins, he's got to split the winning money with us.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. So let's see. Well, at least we can talk now. We don't have Ed blabbering away. Yeah.
Oh, are we saying that he talks a little too much? Ed would have a million things to say about what he thought horror really is.
Yeah.
I mean, horror is something that actually scares you, I guess, is a good meaning of the term horrific. You know, so it's just, I guess it kind of means a little bit of something different to everybody.
Yeah. An example of a real-life horror is what is about 10 feet away from me now.
See, you know what? I was reminiscing the other day. I was thinking about an old show we had done a couple of years ago when we did. You remember when we had the drive where we did the Free Fred Link drive when we were trying to get Fred out of jail?
Yeah.
And apparently,
And
that's the real life horror, is that he's out on the streets. Well, he's not on the streets.
That's right.
He should be behind bars.
Yeah.
Gotta ask, though, if he was gone, would you miss him a little bit?
No, I wouldn't.
My brother would probably say...
I'm trying not to get a homicide rap over him.
Well, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Maybe one day he just won't come home.
You don't have the decency to drop dead... Yeah. Okay. Now to movies. Movie horror. Yeah. Let's see. I'm working on Bigfoot Blood Trap by director John Riccio. Yeah. And
Dead Collections, right?
Well, that's Ed's movie. I'm not in that.
That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Sorry for me to keep up with everything.
Let's see what else. Blood Wings by director Victor Bonacore. I figure when that's the one in which I play Linnea Quigley's husband. I'm a leader of a satanic cult.
Is that almost
Juno wanted after me with a shoe.
You went to shoot?
Yeah, he's... I didn't like the way you were talking on the phone a few minutes ago. He don't like the way I was talking on the phone a few minutes ago.
You're talking about me, I'm sure.
Tell him to go in the other room and don't listen in on our conversation, then.
Go in the other room and don't listen to our conversation.
You got your own real-life horror story right there, don't you?
That's right, yeah. To get back to about Blood Wings, yeah.
Okay. Is that almost finished? You've been working, Victor's been working on that a couple of years, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Not more than a couple of years, like 5 years. It was started in 2010, let's see. It's 5 years. Yeah.
Well, I started PMA in 2008 and didn't get it, fully finished and released till the end of 2013.
Yeah.
So I know that 5 year struggle.
Yeah.
Victor at the Horror Hound Convention in Cincinnati, and we were talking about Blood Wings a little bit. I hadn't...
When was this?
It was 2 years ago. I want to say it was 2012 or no, 2013.
Uh-huh,
but I hadn't seen Victor in 6 or 7 years, so it was nice to run into him. He seemed like he was doing well.
Yeah, I saw Victor like maybe 6 months ago during the summer at the Monster Mania convention. Yeah. And he had Linnea with him, and they're working on a movie. Unfortunately, Linnea had to go with him to work on it almost when I got there, so I didn't really get a chance to talk to her.
She seems to be keeping awfully busy these days. She's got a bunch of stuff coming up. Good. Being busy is always good.
That's right. Yeah, I wish I was busy.
You and me both. I wish I was busy with stuff. Actually, I am kind of busy. I'm getting ready to shoot my next feature, hopefully this summer. But I'm in the planning. Now I got to try to get into the raising a budget. That's the part.
That's always the hardest part.
The absolute least fun part.
Let's see. Yeah, Linnea has a blog where you could talk to her, chat room. I don't know what they call, but I wish I could join her on that. My computer skills are so limited, and nobody around here who knows would explain it to me. A lot of things I want to do on the computer, nobody wants to explain it to me.
I wish I had somebody to explain it to me. I feel like I got to self-learn everything, because around here nobody seems to know anything.
There are a lot of people around here that don't know how to do it, but none of them would help me. The kids now in high school, probably in grammar school too, they're being taught how to use computers. And you would think that my old high school would let me just go in whenever I feel like and learn some of that. They owe it to me because of all the boring, worthless, totally irrelevant garbage that I was forced to sit through 55 or 50 years ago.
You know, I have to think of a lot of the stuff that only, I've been graduated for, this year is my 20th, will be my 20th anniversary of my high school graduation, but I tell you, I think it's some of the stuff that I was taught and how much of it I actually used. Two different things.
Yeah.
Two totally different things.
Yeah,
things,
but all
you know,
I learned in all those years of school is how to be bored. And I hate boredom.
I had a teacher once, it was the last class, it was my junior and senior year, and he was a science teacher, and history teacher, and I always found that to be extremely boring. He was like Ben Stein, the infamous comedian actor who had that very monotone kind of voice,
but he
would put me to sleep every day. I'd get in trouble at least once a week for falling asleep in class, and imagine today I would probably fall asleep every single class.
Yeah, well, that's the way I was, you know. The subject I had the least interest in was arithmetic economics, and they were taught by Mr. Fidelli, who is the uncle of a guy I worked with in the EI movies, John Fidelli. What a coincidence. I always thought Mr. Fidelli was going to flunk me, but he passed me just like all the other teachers just to get rid of me.
I think that happens a lot, and more and more often than you probably know. Imagine I have a few teachers that I was borderline going to fail with, and they didn't want to see me again for another year, and they're like, let's push this sucker through and get rid of them. I learned more, so much more in the years after high school than I ever learned when I was...
Me too.
I always say street smarts is is rated quite higher than book smarts in my opinion.
Yeah.
But again,
I don't understand why the kids nowadays are selling themselves into an indentured servitude for all the rest of their life just to go to college.
And to get a degree that most likely is not going to net them any kind of real job. Many people go for years to get degrees that they end up not using. I work with several of them. I work in a restaurant, and I'm like, you know, you have a degree. I have a high school education, and we're making the same amount of money. So
My parents would have put me through college, but I didn't want to do that. I hated school so much from day one.
You know, since we're going to be talking about horror, that was probably...
Get back to the subject. We're digressing, yeah. Get back
that's
to
all right.
Movies.
It's our show. We can talk about whatever we want, right?
I have to admit,
my idea of horror would be waking up and finding out that I was back in high school. I think that would... Let's get back to the subject of horror. If we're going to talk a little bit about horror movies, what is your favorite? We've talked many times about different movies, but I don't know if we've ever touched base on what your favorite is.
Oh, I have so many favorites. Let's see. Bloody Mallory. You ever seen Bloody Mallory?
Yes. Actually, yeah, I have. It's a French horror film.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
film.
It's kind of like a weird Buffy the Vampire Slayer kind of movie where Mallory hunts demons and whatnot for the Vatican.
I think it was for the Vatican or something
like that. And I haven't watched it in a few years, actually.
Yeah, well, I watch it at least like once or twice a year. It's one of my favorite movies. And let's see. Especially
the effects in that movie I thought were very well done when they kind of go back and forth between the kind of spirit realm and the real world and whatnot.
Yeah.
Switching
dimensions, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. I thought it was a highly underrated movie. I remember when I had read an article about it in Fangoria magazine back when I still collected Fangoria magazine.
Yeah.
And I find the movie anywhere. And one day, I actually found it on DVD at a Family Video right as they were going out of business. They were small town, and I found a copy on the shelf. And it was funny. I'd been in that store dozens and dozens of times, never seen it go there. Managed to have it for $5, which I thought was a pretty good deal. But great movie. Great movie. Highly underrated.
Yeah, there's another version of the DVD you get from the pirate video dealers. It has some stuff in the editions. What do you call them? The commentaries that is not on the official DVD. Yeah,
it's just like a commentary track, or
it's some editions. This seems to have been duped from one of the European DVDs.
Oh, okay. Actually, I'm looking that up right now. I'm going to see if I got the internet at my fingertips here.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually never heard of it. I'm going to see if I can find a version of that somewhere.
Well, the only place you'd find it is with the pirate video dealers.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see. I'm going to say, I'm not seeing it anywhere. I do have to say that I've always loved the tagline for Bloody Mallory, which was, fuck evil.
Yeah.
How do you not like with a tagline like that?
Yeah, the film looks like a pilot for a franchise or a series, but it did so poorly in France. See, they only like it. they only like things that are pretentious and arty. Yeah.
I've noticed that. Unfortunately, it just didn't seem to do good, which is sad because it's such a well done film.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's exciting from beginning to end. There's not really a moment. You know what I mean? There's not really a moment where it lets up. You know, it's not like it's a film at all. So it's kind of it's just one of those that kind of flew in under the radar.
Yeah. Let's see, some others that are favorites of mine. All the Universal horror. Let's see, anything more recent. A film by Richard Blackburn, Lemora, A Child's Tale of the Supernatural. Have you ever seen that, Lemora?
Lemora, no, I haven't. I'm writing it down because
It's under different titles, but the official version is a child's fantasy or child's dream of the supernatural, something like that.
Actually, my wife being 10 years younger than me, there's a lot of movies that she hasn't seen. Dayo was introducing her for the first time to the Lucio Fulci film, The Beyond. I don't know if you've seen that.
It goes
under the title Doors of Death also, which is the version that I have. But it's essential Fulci. If you haven't seen it, very good. They're very gory, nasty kind of horror movie. So turning her on to those movies is kind of like getting to, revisit them again. It's kind of cool.
Another favorite of mine is the original Nosferatu.
Yep, I love that film.
Yeah.
Growing up, I was always told that the guy who played Nosferatu was my family had always told me when I was younger that he was a real vampire and that he wasn't acting. And you could almost believe it.
He was a classically trained stage actor. Max Schreck was his real name. Yeah. And he had a very remote quality, brilliant makeup. Everything was brilliant about the movie. And the art director, Alban Grau, was a real occult initiate. He was a member of the Panosophic Lodge. And do you see that scene where a servant reads the scene with the letter
when he's reading the letter to him, right? I know the scene you mean.
The symbols on the letter that was drawn by Alban Grau, and that was his occult lodge, they used letters like that to communicate with each other.
So the symbols and everything that was on the letter were real. They weren't just made
real,
up.
Real, yeah. They seemed to be mainly astrological. There's websites on the internet where they have close-ups of it. And there were also several paintings of Nosferatu by Alban Grau. You see, they're on the internet. Yeah.
Now, I do. And to change the subject just slightly. Have you ever seen the Klaus Kinski version of Nosferatu?
Oh yeah. The two versions, the two remakes, I thought failed on every level.
I agree, but I thought Klaus Kinski did. A really good. He was no Max Schreck, but I thought he did a really good job. But other than that, the films themselves were just kind of, they were just meh. They weren't really good. They were just kind of okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
again,
one reason I think was that Max Schreck was a classically trained stage actor, and Klaus Kinski and Willem Dafoe are method actors.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And then you're talking about with William Dafoe, the movie about the making of Nosferatu, Shadow of the Vampire. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, I'm referring to that one. Yeah, it fails in every level. I guess they didn't realize that a method actor can't be as good as a classically trained stage actor, a unique actor like Max Schreck.
And he just naturally had the look, which I realized they were, you know, that was achieved a lot through, you know, makeup and everything. But you know what I mean? Just looked at the part, you know, and every time it seems like since then they tried to capitalize on that look by using other actors, you know, replicating that thing. And it just kind of
it doesn't work.
No.
Yeah.
It's like they got close, but just not quite.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage was behind that movie, and they should have made a documentary about the background of the movie. But they would have had to go to Germany, speak German, and see everything in Germany was destroyed, bombed into rubble, and that's they don't have the records. What's his name again? The film historian. I'm forgetting his name. He tried to research it, but it really, really can't because first of all, you would have to speak German, go to Germany, and what's left, all the records were destroyed because everything was bombed into rubble. Is what he told me.
Nothing really even to kind of, nothing for them to go back to and to investigate because it's all gone. It's all
That's
lost.
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, get to another more favorite movies of mine. The Beast from 20,000.
What's that?
The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms. You ever see that?
Yeah, actually, Sven Gulli, the horror host, had that on here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, I was going to ask you.
I hope you're recording his shows.
I keep them on the DVR. The DVR, I got 15 or 20 of them on there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was going to ask you, have you ever seen the film? It was they just had it on this past week. I had never seen it before. It was a Universal horror movie with Lon Chaney called The Weird Woman. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the Inner Sanctum pictures. They tried to make him into a suave kind of guy. It didn't work.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I like Lon Chaney, but he was just not really the suave character, was he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just too big and kind of lumbering around is a little too much to be suave, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Three of the Inner Sanctum movies?
Well, I think there were three, yeah. Weird Woman and that was based on a Conjure Wife story by Fritz Lieber Jr. Yeah, another thing you see on reviews and internet, they think they confused with Fritz Lieber Sr. and who was a stage actor, and Fritz Lieber Jr. the writer. They were two different people. Fritz Lieber Sr. was in, what was that, Tale of Two Cities. You ever see that one, 1930s, Tale of Two Cities?
No, I haven't seen one. I'm familiar with it. I know of it, but no, I've never seen it.
Yeah, That was Fritz Lieber Sr. Two different people. Yeah. Let's see now. To get back to the Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, I saw it in the movies when it came out.
And that came out when?
It came out 54, I believe.
And now I'm going to say that's probably young. It's probably not. I know it's got to be on VHS, but I wonder if that's on DVD.
It's got to be, yeah. Yeah.
It'll be on DVD somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I have something else I got to write down and look up.
Yeah.
It was just a couple of days ago. There was a movie called The Strangers that came out about four or 5 years ago.
The one with the one I'm thinking of with Nicole Kidman?
No, that's the other.
Oh, the other, kind of, yeah.
So yeah. Story. And The Strangers had Liv Tyler, Steven Tyler's daughter, in it. It was kind of like a home invasion kind of movie, but the two fellas who directed that, I completely cannot remember, without cheating and like looking on IMDb, I can remember their names. But they have a new movie out called Mockingbird. It's part of the, what do you want to call it, the found footage genre, you know, kind of like a Blair Witch Project. It's all found footage, which I'm normally not really a fan of. I'm not really a fan of the found footage, but if you get a chance, John, if you can find it anywhere, if you're at a convention, can find it for a few dollars, it's really good. It's probably the best found footage movie I've seen ever.
I wish they would find the found footage to the 1930s Universal pictures like Bride of Frankenstein, The Mummy. A lot was cut out of them.
Well, you know, and the thing is that stuff's got to exist somewhere. You would think it was, but probably by now, it's probably, you know what I mean? It's probably destroyed and degenerated over the years. I imagine if there was anything, it was probably not very...
There were scenes cut out of them.
Know what were some of those scenes? Know what some of those scenes were?
The reincarnation scenes, where they're flashing back to the different incarnations, and in the Bride of Frankenstein, a lot was cut out. You would have to look at the Universal script books to see, and all they have is of the scenes of stills.
So what is that, you would probably remember this, I'm trying to think, what was the infamous movie with Lon Chaney Sr.? Is it London After Midnight?
After Midnight, yeah. That was actually, Mark of the Vampire was actually a remake of London After Midnight. And the late Professor William K. Everson said, he saw it years ago, London After Midnight, and if it's ever recovered, you'll be very disappointed. Mark of the Vampire is much better, he said.
I own Mark of the Vampire, the Lugosi version, yes.
Yeah, Lugosi version, yeah. He said Mark of the Vampire is much better.
Isn't that the one that's known for being the first movie where a vampire actually, like, dies in the sunlight, isn't it? Is this the first time?
No, that's Nosferatu.
No, I mean, will they actually show the vampire like melting and whatnot? I mean, in Nosferatu,
which one?
in Mark of the Vampire, wasn't Mark of the Vampire, because they had like a wax dummy. I thought I'm making of this at one time where it showed where it was a wax dummy of made in the likeness of Lugosi, and when she gets trapped.
You must be thinking of Return of the Vampire.
I had it. Okay.
Yeah,
I knew,
yeah.
knew one of those. I had it mixed up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And while we're on the subject, on the subject Lugosi for a moment, I have to say, just for the record, my all-time favorite actor.
Considered it a missed opportunity too.
That we were born so many decades apart that if I could have worked with anybody, Lugosi would have been it. But,
yeah,
you know,
well, yeah.
Daylight Dollar, what are going to do?
Yeah. Huh. Now, let's see, what else? No more favorites. I have so many favorites. Oh, yeah.
What do you think is the most overrated horror movie you've ever seen? A movie that most people like, say, like Exorcist or Halloween or Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I love those films, but I'm just saying, as examples, something that is universally loved but that you really don't like. You have one?
I can't think of one. I'm sure there are some, but I just can't think of them now.
I got one. My least favorite, and I swear, I tried revisiting it a couple of years ago to see if I just didn't like it because I was young, but Rosemary's Baby I found to be an extremely boring film.
Yeah, well, Ruth Gordon's performance was very memorable.
Yes, I'll give you that. Some of the performances. I actually thought Charles Grodin, for the small part that he had in it, did very well. But just, it just really, long story short, I just found it to be extremely boring and kind of uneventful. You know, it was one of those movies I'm like, you know, all I wanted to see was I wanted to see the baby that never showed it, you know.
Yeah, they left it to the imagination. Yeah.
And more times than not, I can understand that. I understand the reasoning behind something like that, but it just didn't. I don't know. Didn't get into it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just wasn't my cup of tea.
Yeah. You know, there was a TV movie. Look What Happened to Rosemary's Baby, and Ruth Gordon repeats her character.
Oh, really?
You ever see that? Well, yeah.
When did that come out? I didn't even know it existed.
It must have been the 70s. The 70s, yeah. And it was a terrible picture, but her performance as a character was always good. Yeah.
I'm going to say, it is filled with some great performances, but yeah, it was just, to me, an example of a movie that, how do you say it, just, I'm trying to think of a kind way of saying it. Even the greatest of performances couldn't save a truly terrible, horrible script.
Wow. Hmm.
It seemed to me like, just for me, I mean, it just was, it was always on the verge. To me, it was always on the verge of being something great, but it just, I don't know, never took that next.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah, now we'll see. What else? A lot of the color pictures I haven't seen yet. I saw practically all of the black and white. Yeah.
It was a Christmas gift for my wife. She got me the Universal, the new box set that had just come out, of all the classic Universal Monster movies. They had 36 movies. Everything, Dracula, and all the Invisible Man series, the Mummy series, all the
mm-hmm.
I still have it. It's been since Halloween, or not Halloween, since Christmas, and I've still got about 15 or more to watch.
Yeah.
Haven't made it
yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hadn't seen Mummy's Curse in 20 years. I mean, last time I seen the Mummy's Curse was 25 years ago, so to be able to see that again, that was, I love that film. Love that film. Very atmospheric, moody, very, very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't find it. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
This Island Earth, also another one that is one of my favorites.
Yeah. They originally planned for more scenes with the mutants, but Jeff Morrow claimed that he had them cut out the scenes, more scenes with the mutants.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you mean for This Island Earth or?
This Island Earth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why did they have them cut all the scenes out? It seemed like it was the best part of the film.
Yeah.
Do you know why he had to cut that out, or?
I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to be upstaged by the mutant. Yeah.
maybe you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got about two and a half minutes left. I'm not sure what you want to touch base on before we're here.
Yeah, I don't want to rattle off all the people that croak. That's depressing. It gets Rudolph Gray depressed.
Much,
yeah, I understand Rudolph is coming out with a second edition of his book Nightmare Recency with all the stuff that was the publisher made him omit from the original edition. So I'm looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. I actually had discovered Ed Wood myself through the film, kind of a documentary. It came from Hollywood,
yeah.
Which they had quite an extensive piece on Ed Wood. That's how I discovered him. And then about 6 months later, I got the Nightmare and Ecstasy book, and that was pretty much cemented my love for anything Ed Wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The films were absolutely horrible, but God, I don't know what it is about
them. No, they weren't horrible. They're good examples of expressionist cinema.
Yeah, but I have to admit, I gotta give credit where credit's due. The man had a wild imagination.
Yeah.
I just think he was limited by budget and probably by...
That's right, yeah. He had a unique style all his own. Too bad he didn't make more movies. You know, Conrad Brooks told me that Ed Wood had an opportunity to grind out these exploitation thrillers for George Weiss, and he turned it down. And that was a big mistake, because he would have cut his teeth as a director.
Well, it would have offered him more opportunities, and to, you know.
Yeah,
to...
yeah.
But, everybody's got to live with those.
Ed Wood was an amateur filmmaker who made movies good enough to be shown on TV. When do people ever see that?
I don't know. It was misunderstood, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, okay, since we got about a minute left, we actually got 30 seconds left. Let's rattle off. What's favorite Ed Wood film?
Oh, Plan 9 from Outer Space, I guess. Too bad they didn't use the original title, Grave Robbers from Outer Space.
So my favorite is still Bride of the Monster.
Yeah, well, Lugosi is in it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and Lugosi makes everything better.
Yeah, he did, yeah.